reinforcing, enhancing, and targeting arboviral surveillance and mitigation in Washington, D.C. using geographic information systems, or GIS.
Good morning. Oh, it is moving on us. Okay. I'm here this morning to speak on behalf of the D.C. Department of Health and to provide technology that we use to create a robust surveillance and mitigation program in the district in response to the concerns surrounding Zika virus. So to begin, this is probably a map that most folks have already seen in this room. We were tasked in the district to go ahead and put together a surveillance and mitigation program and surrounding Zika virus, and basically we used the program that we had had previously for West Nile virus as our template. And two things that are important to note based on this chart. In the District of Columbia, we know that we have the 80 species, and second, we also know that we have a very large population of people in the district that are traveling to tropical areas, and thereby the concern for potential local transmission does in fact exist. So in preparation for creating this robust program, we went to the CDC website and we saw that they were able to use some of the GIS mapping as a way to convey in a very pictorial image some of the data that people are interested in. And so we wanted to take and incorporate that same type of data and enhance the program that we had in the district. So the first thing that we can see is that there is, in fact, data supporting that there were confirmed cases of Zika virus in the district through folks that had traveled. And unfortunately, we're not able to do this in real time, but we are able to at least do snapshots. And so when we go into that website, we're able to hover over the district and see that 25 cases of Zika were reported in the district last year. So the first thing that we then did was we took our map of the district and we said, okay, what do we need to do to create something similar? And so a few things that are of importance for us. The district is somewhat unique in that it has an urban setting that isn't typical of other urban settings in the country. Some of the uniqueness is that we have about one-third of the land in the district that's actually occupied by federal agencies, and that one-third of the land we do not actually have jurisdiction over. Even though it falls within the confines of the city, we do not have the ability to manage that. The other important piece of information that we have in the district is that we have a very large amount of natural green space, and so because of that we have a large population of wildlife, and also with that come the inclusion of insects and mosquitoes, of course, being the vector of concern. So you can see from this map, the district is divided up into 8 different quadrants that are called districts, and what we wanted to do was to go ahead and look at how we were going to place traps to catch mosquitoes so that we can do a better job at providing an equidistant of surveillance. So on this site, you can see the flag. They denote areas in the district that are sites that are already being trapped by the federal government. So we, of course, do not want to repeat surveillance in those areas. And so we were able to, by the use of geographic mapping, look at areas of the district that had population densities that were of concern, and to provide basically the best overall distribution of trapping sites that would be available to give us the best results. The materials and methods that we used last year, we continued to use the two different trap site types that we had used in the past, that being the gravid traps as well as the CO2 traps. We did a 30-week surveillance period in the district and put a minimum of 4 traps into each of the 8 district wards. Again, the two different trap sites here. And then once we set those traps, they were harvested 48 hours after the setting of the trap. The specimens that were collected were then sent to the diagnostic lab for further processing. They were divided into male and female species sexes. The different mosquitoes were then speciated and then tested accordingly. I did want to make note that even though this was an enhanced surveillance program for Zika virus, we actually tested for Zika virus, West Nile, dengue fever, and chikungunya. New for 2017, we're also including the VG Sentinel traps, and so this will be a trial year for us for those, and based on the results of those traps, we'll see as to how we handle the surveillance and mitigation plan for next year. Okay. The second area that we used geomapping technology was for the mitigation component of our plan. And so in years prior, we had basically applied larvicide to the different areas of the district based on concerns or complaints that were put in. Last year, we made much greater effort to actually do a complete larvicide distribution across the entire city. And we did that with the intent of having a 30-day repeat coverage area. So this map here shows that we were able to put into place a team of individuals that actually went out on the weekends and larvicided all the catch basins in the district. And what we did was we tabulated the areas that were done. And so each different color area represents that part of the city that was, in fact, larvicided during that particular week. The nice part of this is that it allowed us to then go back and show individuals when their areas of the city had larvicide and when we were able to repeat that distribution. The next area of the geomapping that we were able to use to incorporate into our program is to do data enrichment and analysis. And so this is a piece that's quite interesting. Each bit of data essentially is a layer. And so we were able to take the basic map of the district and then start to add layers on top of it to give us some a sense of the target area that we are interested. So in this particular case, we decided we wanted to look at some of the vulnerable populations, and we targeted individuals that were 65 years of age and older and that were within 1 mile walking distance of where the trap sites were set. And from that, we were able to show the distribution of individuals, and then you can see over there to the left, we are able then to put in to the data bullet points that we want to be able to come up on the website for people to be able to go and access that information. With that, we also did some mapping of the outreach community events that we had. And so we had two different types of community outreaches in the city. The first type was individual outreach to neighborhoods where we had positive infected or positive sites. And in this case, because all of the data that we had negative mosquito populations for Zika virus, so we went back to using the template of the West Nile virus. Okay? And so we were able to show here the different, and I'll go back to this in a slide later here to show a little more depth, but we were able to show what areas were positive for West Nile virus in this case, and where we went into the communities to actually do the outreach program. In addition to that, we also had outreach community events, and this slide simply depicts the areas of the city where those different events were held. Okay, this is the former slide that is just blown up. It shows here that we're able to show on a map areas where we had, again, relating to West Nile in this case, because those are the only positives that we had, areas where there were confirmed positive mosquitoes carrying the West Nile virus. And what we did in this case was show that this was the area that we then went into the neighborhood and penetrated those specific areas with additional information relating to, in this case, again, West Nile virus. From that, we can take this and extend that zone And it allows us to take the geomapping information that's available and start to look at how do we want to go beyond just the area that we have a positive concern. So in this case, we looked at a couple of different things. We wanted to know where were the school systems relative to the positive sites. Where were the areas that had multi-tenant complexes? And so we were able then, again, to go into these areas, show where we extended the outreach program to the specific sites and provide that information to those individuals as well. This here is a simple depiction of where we had positively identified 80 species in the district, depicted by the ovals. And from that, what we wanted to do is create what we call a story map. And the story map is essentially a story from start to finish of the surveillance and mitigation program in the district, and it's put onto our website. And I have, with that story map, several maps that are included into it, and if we were able to do it in real time, it would show current data as it was running, and individual residents would be able to have the opportunity to look at that information on an ongoing basis. And so just a couple of quick data points that we had in this story map. This is just showing each of the sites that were tested, and that shows that we did actually collect 15,000 species which were tested. Of those, about 50% of the actual sites of testing contained positive mosquitoes with West Nile. Simple chart graph here just showing the distribution of species in the district. And so you can see here, if somebody was really concerned about the Zika virus, in this particular graph it shows really there's just 1% of the mosquitoes that were actually trapped that were of the Aedes aegypti species. Simple graph also here showing each of the individual wards and how many mosquitoes were collected in each of those. Graph here that depicts the surges in the different type of mosquito species throughout the district. And then just some basic conclusions that we were able to draw. The biggest being where was the gap in historic information that we had versus where we wanted to go with this. How did we establish better coverage of our surveillance program? Mapping of hot spots where we had positive mosquitoes. Confirmed areas where the Zika vector was present, the overarching distribution of larvicide throughout the district, better understanding of how we can use our resources to get that 30-day coverage. And then from this, we are able also to know that for future surveillances programs going forward, we really wanted to probably concentrate and target areas of OBGYN facilities or healthcare facilities where there may be an increased concern of the vector being able to transmit in that particular area. And I'm happy to answer any questions at the end. Yes, okay.